All right, let's start this up. Hello and welcome to the PAX special episode of the Fan Gamer Podcast, live from Boston, Massachusetts, right?
You told me I was in Iowa. What the hell is going on?
So today we have, from the Fan Gamer Hotel Room Alpha, to my left.
What? You told me?
Introduce yourselves today.
I thought my room is room zero, man. That's higher than Alpha. My name's Kevin Williams, and I work for Fan Gamer.
Tip your waiters. Over here on the bed, my wife, Jennifer, you heard in the last podcast.
Hi.
Chowing down on some Mike's pastries. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought I was going to pretend.
And then over here, pretending like she's going to be on the podcast either, Camille Young, creator of the ever illustrious the Mother 3 Handbook figurines, which we cannot hear the end of how awesome they are for people at PAX.
Oh, yeah.
And people wanting to either A, steal them, or B, buy them. Luckily, we drilled the whole thing shut. There's no key on it. You just can't even open. We can't even get into it again. Next to them, introduce yourself, man with the fork in his mouth, the one in charge. Who are you?
I'm William!
William! And out of, arrived today, fresh off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Introduce yourself, my friend.
My name's Jeff Benson.
Jeff Benson, everyone.
Jeff
on
Benson!
The podcast.
And I am currently drinking Airborne formula.
What flavor?
Pink grapefruit.
Ooh.
Herbal power.
I hate
using power.
Grapefruit.
I do too, but it wasn't bad. Though.
Well, also, this is mixed with tap water, which isn't the most
Boston
nutritious.
Tap water.
Boston tap water is orange flavor.
You mean tap water.
Tap water.
Tap water.
Hopefully no one from Boston listens to the podcast.
Kevin, you wanna
we're going to make fun of those.
What is this?
It's vitamin stuff.
We're going to take a hit
Kevin's going to do some airborne.
I'm going to take a hit of airborne.
You're going to hear us do
I'm
airborne.
I'm doing airborne out of a paper coffee cup.
Let it dissolve for a little while.
It's sexy, actually.
I love the
Can
fact
I
that we're doing
read
airborne.
The thing here?
We're doing airborne. All right, guys.
Oh,
let's,
it's effervescent.
Let's
That's
talk
exciting.
About PAX. I'm going to start with people who have actually got to leave the booth and see more than one corner of it. So, Kevin, what have you seen today at PAX?
I have seen the face of God. and to the layperson, that means we went to the Classic Console Free Playroom, me and Jeff's radio.
Oh yeah, I saw him.
And
whose name is Dave, right?
That's right, Dave.
I would think it was a Jeff. That grapefruit going
I
down
accidentally
well.
Just engulfed the remnants of powder that had not yet dissolved.
I'm gonna stir this with my cupcake.
Yeah, be careful
structure.
With the airborne, guys.
We don't want to get too crazy with the airborne.
Okay, so you were at the
I was in the console free play room, and they had, among other things, a ColecoVision and an Atari.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, do you think they have Tron on the Atari? Which they didn't, but they let you check out the whole box at once, because there's only one Atari anyway. And so they had...
all of Boston.
Yeah, there's one here and one in Needham.
Wait, actually, someone brought an Atari to the booth. Yes, were you there for that?
Mm.
The guy pulls out of his bag and slaps on the table
he
an
was
Atari.
There. He was at our...
And I was like, did you want us to sign it? Or
it was
put
just
a
Atari,
on?
Like, 130, whatever.
He's like, I go on IRC with this.
And
he was nerding
yeah,
out.
He pulled it out right next to us, and I'm like, that's fantastic, but I am losing at Jet Combat right now. Jet Combat.
I do not want to see.
Invisible rebounding bullet tank battle, and it was just crazy talk. But then the last thing we did before the enforcer politely came over and informed us that 30 minutes was up was I plugged in E.T.
Oh, wow. I've never
they
even
had
actually
a copy of
E.T.
for the Atari.
They got one out of the landfill.
They recovered it from the New Mexico landfill, and immediately this massive crowd forms around. Is that E.T.? What are you doing? So I'm like, this can't be as bad as everybody says. As, you know, you walk one screen up, and then you fall in a hole. I was playing on what I believe was the easiest difficulty level, because you couldn't tell with all the knobs and switches on the Atari. But so you levitate out of the hole. And then I found a hole where there was actually something... That might have been Reese's Pieces. It might have been part of a phone. We weren't sure. But after that...
might have been phoning home.
After that, the FBI agent caught up to me. And every time he catches you, he drags you off to jail, which is on a completely different screen, and then you lose all your... You get dragged to jail. They put E.T. in jail, and then he busts out.
That really does explain drunk tanks at various police establishments.
That's pretty much it, yeah. And I lasted about 3 minutes, and then I was like, I can't stand this anymore, and shut the machine off in disgust.
Even with a crowd of people around you cheering, you're like, get out of the
hole! They weren't
cheering. Get out of jail!
They were watching with various expressions of stunned disbelief.
Isn't it great to know that Spielberg went on to direct Boom Blocks?
I love Boom Blocks.
What I think is the justification is that James Cameron apparently couldn't make a good video game of Avatar either. So, you know, like...
He was too busy still working on the technology for Avatar and selling that off to other movie makers.
3D gaming technology.
Yeah. Actually, is there... That's one thing I have noticed about PAX East. There is a lot more game-related vendors. Not necessarily, like, game makers. There's not a lot of Valves and other guys. There's... If you'd like to look at a headset for video games, if you'd like to look at the guys next to us are selling, like, not motherboards, selling, like, entire rigs, or just, is it... They're selling computer parts to play for video games.
The guys next to us are.
There's some other guys selling rigs at the Alienware booth, about two booths away from us.
Yeah. The NVIDIA guys next to us are selling... Actually, they're just showing off these new GeForce cards, these SLI, PCI-2 cards, and it's... Unbelievable. 1.5 gigs of RAM.
On the card?
On the card alone.
Per video card.
Per card. So yeah, it's man. Two, right? So that's SLI.
Yeah, man. I
3 gigs of video RAM.
My first video card that I bought from a computer that I first built, 16 megs of RAM. I remember it, man. I can't believe this. It's so weird to see this happening, you know?
The guys, they're pretty nice, though, considering the things that we've asked. Like, we're hiding our ladder behind their booth right now. what's weird is they're there as late as we are, and we're one of the few booths who, like, there's still people there well after the show is closed, still cleaning
up. Like,
all
the other booths are, like, gone to the bars immediately.
Mega 64 guys are like, as soon as we can get out of here, we're gone. They're right across
the be fair, they were maybe the only booth that worked harder than we did.
That's
with
true.
The dancing and the jigging and the bags on the head.
In fact, tomorrow we're going to coordinate a dance party with them.
You guys ready?
Is it a dance party or a dance off?
Well, see, because no, I don't think we can, honestly, I don't think we can compete in a dance off.
I am crazy and cool, sir. I will lay down.
I feel like they have 5 strong dancers. We might have 2.5, 3. I mean, Jen's professionally trained, but I think we have some negatives on the dancing that
takes
away.
Nobody wants to get hurt. Let's just,
yeah. So I'm hoping we'll get the Mega 64 guys. They're like, okay, when you hit your next dance break, Rooster Teeth, they're coming out of their booth. They're dropping sales on the ground. We're dropping handbooks on the ground, jumping over the countertops, and breaking down right in the middle there with everyone.
Yes, please.
Doesn't look very appetizing.
Camille's bringing us treats.
I'm having some chocolate.
I can't help but wonder, what do you think of your airborne right now?
I'm going to eat some chocolate.
I'm good.
I think this was from a cupcake. It's really good. Don't balance in front of me. I'll just eat it.
Dunkin' Donuts top. We're classy.
We're kind of lavish. We're eating pastries off of a Dunkin' Donuts box top.
And the pastries did not come from Dunkin' Donuts.
No, they didn't. Although, Dunkin' Donuts, man, they got some good donuts. They have these little the donut holes. They call them munchkins. That shit's
munchkins.
Good. They're delicious.
You're eating Wizard of Oz characters.
Wicked feedback.
In Canada,
we call them feedback, yo.
Sorry, Boston.
In Canada, we call them Timbits.
Stable over here.
You get them from Tim Hortons.
Well, I'd like to say that when I was walking around outside of the booth, there was many beautiful women.
Really?
Yeah, was mm-hmm.
All three of them?
I'm about to say, I know there may be a handful around the entire show that we may have seen one or two of.
I did see the requisite woman in a Pikachu bikini.
What?
Yeah, Jeff got on video.
I got it.
You got the Pikachu woman on video? All right.
I saw girl side butt. Yeah.
Side butts.
No!
You saw the same girl.
Yeah. Speaking of...
She was wearing like a loincloth. It was so awkward. Wow.
I am working too hard selling merch. I am missing out on this.
And finally, I saw the EverQuest girl. So that's the three... Like, everybody's seen those three women around the plot. And they're just like, oh, hey, that's
we saw some cool Left 4 Dead people. We saw a guy dressed up like... Who was it from Left 4 Dead? From the first one. Token black guy. Come on. What's
Don't
his name?
Racist.
Well, there's not unfortunately a lot of equal opportunity in Left 4 Dead, unfortunately.
Yeah, you've only got 4 slots.
You've only got 4 players.
And they had one of those had to be the pretty girl.
Yeah.
So.
I'll show you our Left 4 Dead fan gamer artist pins out.
Those got done
this morning out. I have like one or two on me. I might give them out to cool people tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
I was lucky. I grabbed one of the Dr. Mario pills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and those
I
are gone
that too.
Those are out.
Yeah, we got a lot of pins out.
Guess,
really
guess who just walked in?
Oh, man. Mr. John Cadis walked in with two prostitutes on his arm, some cavalier, and it looks like there might be some white powder on his nose.
John, I don't think you're allowed to smoke in here.
What do you want?
I don't think you're allowed to smoke in here, and I don't think you're allowed to smoke that anywhere.
Do you want some cannoli?
Yeah. It's donuts, John.
That's donut time, John.
Hey, if I can smoke chicken nuggets.
Yeah, John smokes them in 5 seconds flat.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We're going to save this so we don't lose it, and we'll come right back. It's been actually 10 minutes, 25 seconds.
Oh.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Yeah. Reed has found a donut underneath the bed that he's now eating.
It's delicious, man. I mean, the icing's brown. I don't know what it was originally, but...
God.
It's okay to be.
Okay, so Kevin told us his experience. Jeff, this is your day one at PAX for you, right? So what have you seen cool at PAX? Because I have only seen people.
The coolest things I think I've seen is just the... Well, I think the most beautiful thing I saw is when I walked into the game room, the free game room.
It's a good time.
Everybody in there is just absolutely content. And there's not one person who's sitting there going, I'm not having
a good time. Yeah.
It was so nice to see that so many people were content. And also, I think just a fun part was when I walked into the D&D room and there was a man who had his pants literally pulled halfway down his butt. And he was leaning up on the table like this, trying to like grab, like, and, it was, and I had a perfect side view of it, which is why
you got some plumber's crack.
Yeah.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Was he rolling for, do you show everyone your butt crack? I mean, what is that?
What's the difficulty on that?
So that's like a DC check, like 15. You got to roll higher than that not to show your ass crack to everyone. Although, speaking of ass cracks, Mega 64 guys, did you guys catch an eye full of that?
I will sit here.
Rocco is out there dancing it. And then, I don't know, he just starts pulling down his pants. And all I see is just Rocco's butt crack waving at people walking by their booth. I can't say enough for how awesome Mega 64 is and the merchandise and the people pushing our direction away from Rocco's ass.
I was going to say, while we were setting up the booths on Friday morning, Rocco walks up to the booth. He just got there. And he's like, listen, guys. Maybe we should just, like, take everything out of the booth and just say nothing is for sale. And they're like, that's a terrible idea, but would it be really funny?
They'll go to extenuating circumstances for a joke.
Let's have a good time, man.
Yeah. The Rooster Teeth guys, we haven't got to talk to them much. They're super cool, too. But, man, there was some shit going down today. Like, enforcers are coming by. Robert Koo himself. I guess what I heard was they did their big panel out in the main theater. Some fan gave them beer. They didn't want the beer, so they threw it in the trash. And then some kids took the beer out of the trash.
Oh my gosh.
And then someone found the underage kids with beer, and they said, well, Rooster Teeth gave it to us. Then the security is coming over to the Rooster Teeth booth and coming through saying, did you give kids beer? And they're like, we didn't give kids beer.
That's interesting. I was just standing by... Two enforcers, and I just heard them talking about something, saying, well, who's going to break it to them? Like, they're talking about throwing somebody out.
Oh, yeah, it was
and I had no idea. I actually wanted to say, what are you guys talking about? But I knew they wouldn't tell me.
No, it was serious business.
Our enforcer of that area, his name is Pierce. Awesome guy.
Pierce is, man.
Yeah,
he's buying people breakfast in the morning, hanging out with us, drinking beers. It got us staplers, scissors, box cutters, any random thing. We should try and find something really weird for him to get to.
And he saved me from being lost in the big city of Boston.
He knows Jeff's name. He's never met Jeff. He's like, I think your friends are looking for you somewhere, somehow.
You guys got a friend named Fred? Fred? No, Jeff. Well, Fred's close enough.
So what happened was all of a sudden Pierce hears about the situation in the break room. He's like, Rooster Teeth, wait a second.
Oh, no. That's my section.
That's my section. Turf, so he gets up and he starts running. He starts like running as fast as he can to figure out what's going on. And at that point, I think he got there right when they were kind of concluding.
They were already figuring it out. Yeah. There was like three enforcers before he got there. They left. There's like guys with walkie-talkies. I mean, if you have a walkie-talkie, you're official. They left. Robert Koo comes walking by with his entourage of people and his suit with a skateboard deck. Hands it to the guys at Rooster Teeth like, we are sorry. And then he leaves and it's fine. And everyone's happy again. But... yeah, it was, I hope we can actually talk to them tomorrow. The booth stream has been crazy. Friday was just jam-packed. Saturday has been a little more steady. We've had a little more, little tiny lulls, and then just people coming through, people drawing all over the booth. We spent probably tonight, how much time we spent cleaning off the booth?
Not quite an hour,
we spent
a pretty good amount of time.
We washing it off.
Can I put in a plug for those magic erasers?
Those erasers, the magic, what do they call it?
Mr. Clean is literally called a magic eraser, and it does what it says
amazing.
On the box.
Amazing.
You rub it on the side of the wall.
Takes
and
off
all the
permanent marker. It's amazing. It's good times. So that's what kept our booth so clean. Any other cool, notable stuff that happened today that I can think of? Could we talk to anyone fun?
I almost elbowed a girl in the face.
Oh, the one girl not to elbow, because after that, she was like, so freaked out.
I know. I felt so bad.
But she went and bought a bunch of stuff, and I was like trying to be super nice to her. I'm like, I'm sorry, Nathan Fillion just rammed you in the face.
But she was like, oh, it was Nathan Fillion. Well,
oh, that's why. I love Firefly.
I love whatever that one Western movie is.
Did they speak Chinese in the future? It's a good time.
Yeah, I felt so bad. I kept apologizing to her. And I was going to be like, well, I was going to be like, you know, I run this place.
It's kind of okay. You might actually like
it. It's fine. Don't worry.
She's going to go home tonight and blog about it, probably. How happy
but
she was.
I felt terrible because she was already wearing one of our shirts. You know?
Yeah. I was like, the one fan you have to offend is the one wearing her stuff and is deathly afraid of people.
How many Earthbound fans showed up that were just actually surprised to see Earthbound
to
stuff?
To see us there?
Yeah. Not necessarily specifically you guys, but just Earthbound-oriented things.
I noticed a lot of girls.
Yeah, I started seeing a lot of people dressed up.
I guess what would usually happen is they would be lulled in by Camille's figurines. You know? Mm-hmm. Whoever was over there would talk them up about the figurines or the wall. They'd move over towards the main booth. I'd start trying to give them free pins, and they'd be like, what are you guys about? A graffiti? I don't get it. And I would say, I would give them the spiel about our merchandise, and they go, oh, Earthbound? I love Earthbound. I'm like, you love Earthbound, huh? Did you like the sequel to Earthbound or a Ness shirt? Like, oh, a Ness shirt? I sold one girl all the way from the figurine stand all the way to almost an Awesomeness collar pack. She got a shirt. She got pins. She was happy.
Nice. There was one girl I actually ran up to the booth. She's like, I want a Ness shirt. And I want everything, but I'll just get a Ness shirt and a yo-yo. I'm like, are you sure? It's like, what? No, don't tempt me. Closes her eyes. Dude. She's like, just, I just want those two. She's so excited.
Our newest engineer buddy, Sam. He's an MIT grad. He's an engineer.
Is that who you were talking with at dinner tonight, or
no, different guy. This guy came by the booth. He was actually here yesterday.
He lives in Tucson, right? And he was talking. You were talking about the Ustream problems, right? With like the bandwidth.
Oh no, that was a different.
Oh,
guy.
That's an entirely different guy.
No, Sam actually. He bought a Yomega,
yeah.
And I'm like, so, I mean, you want to show me a trick or something? He's like, yeah, I guess. So we opened his bag, he's looking at like 8 super pro yo-yos.
Oh,
like
this kid, yeah, yeah,
$8,000 yo-yos in this bag. And so he whips one of these things out, he's just like, and like the yo-yos fly everywhere. I'm trying to get it on camera, and I can't go fast enough to keep up with the yo-yo. It was amazing.
The moment where you go, did you do that all on one throw? He's like, oh yeah! And it was like 3 or 4 minutes worth of tricks.
I know,
tricks.
Man. He's just like doing tricks all the time, and I thought he stopped. But he didn't. He just kept going.
He was still going. He was pretty awesome.
Didn't we sell a couple more yo-yos right after that?
We should call him back to start doing tricks out front. Because when I was doing tricks, no one was impressed. No one's
I might have driven off a couple of sales pages. I'd just be like, I'd do the trick where you you throw the yo-yo down, then you bring it back into your hand. Then you throw it down again, and it stays down. And then you stand there for like 5 minutes, and they're really like high class, you know, the ones with the string
good, nice
around the rod, so that you can't wrap them back up again unless you're really, really careful.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't wrap it up and get it to go again, so I was mostly just, somebody else take this, go away. Yeah.
What was the best drawing on the wall?
I think it was the Crazy Mr.
Crazy Mr. Wait, what was Crazy Mr.
I wasn't trying to plug my own drawing. I was actually asking an honest question.
Wait, what was Crazy Mr. Saturn?
I did an ultra-realistic, like, wrinkled Mr. Saturn.
Was that on the wall, or was that the one?
It was, like, with the super
snaz. Facing away
the super big one.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, either the one that the little girls who, they came to the booth, they were there for like 5 minutes, drew on the booth, I gave them pins, they came back later in the day, drew on the booth again, and then a third time came back to the booth and drew on the booth.
So I just have to say, I was looking through Twitter, and their dad just Twittered, my daughters have voted that the best booth at PAX is Spangamer.
Yeah!
And he put a picture of them drawing.
Those three girls, right? Oh, they were adorable, because they first
they
came
really,
by,
really
they looked
cute.
Super excited to draw on it, and I came by, and I was like, do you guys want some pins on them? And they were just like, so busy drawing. I'm like, they're free. Like,
yeah.
Oh, and then they all swarmed over, picked the prettiest ones, and they went back to drawing.
I think I spoke to their dad.
He was a cool guy.
He was a cool guy, but he asked me about the new plushies. And I said, you know, they'll be on sale later this year, $35. Buy them, everybody. And I said to him, you know, the big selling point on these is that they're handmade by our artist in Vancouver, Eyes 5. And so, you know, you're getting a really good quality product, limited run, you know, they're really nice. And he says, oh, I was kind of looking for something for a 2-year-old who's going to rip it to pieces. And so I'm like, I just made the exact wrong sales pitch to you, didn't I, sir? These are completely disposable. You can just buy them and forget them. No problem.
Set it and forget it. Give him the cloth bag. That's probably the best.
I tried to sell him a shirt, but he was just like, eh.
So I think my two favorite ones, they're kind of two pieces. I like the people who did, like, Goodwill Hunting style stuff on the whiteboard. We had people who did, like, circuit diagrams, problems, people who did, like, calculus problems, and then people who came by later and solved the calculus problems on the whiteboard.
Somebody put a problem on the board, and Reed just kind of whimsically goes, I'll give somebody a prize if they can get that right. And, like, in a matter of 30 seconds, yeah, somebody gets it right.
So only a pass, man. You're going to find someone to do that.
That's, like, when you're asking for prizes.
He sets himself up and immediately gets knocked down. Like, he's trying to be a good guy. Like, oh, I'll give somebody a prize if anybody can get this. And then, of course,
the guy's like,
gets it.
I love me some calculus.
Yeah. I should have known better. I mean, with Sam, the MIT engineer throwing yo-yos, I should have known to be careful with math problems.
So I really like those. And then I also liked the first day, the one they drew of the pig jelly of a truck running over a pork army guy to make piggy jelly.
That was totally
it was good. Really quite awesome. Now, those are my two favorite
I think the best one on there was somebody started drawing Mr. Saturns. And people turned to a
Saturn. Oh, they just did a stack of Saturns on top of it.
But then they started drawing like tendas in there.
There was a tenda, there was a Saturn.
It got multicultural.
I think the top one had a monocle in the top hat, but then it was wobbly, so the top hat was falling off. And then that was the end.
I think tomorrow.
Then it started to run into the bottom of somebody's foot on another drawing, and yeah.
So I think tomorrow the plan is we're going to try and designate a section to be left for dead messages from the safe rooms. We're going to go in there before we start up, write some up, and then see what it turns into on the wall. Hopefully, see some cool stuff.
We should do some ghosts too. We should do like Mad Libs.
Mad Libs. That's a good idea. Like, put up some Mad Libs on there.
Yeah.
Maybe do like a crossword puzzle. You know, other interesting things.
I was hoping to put up a note that says "Do not write in this space," and then just cordon off a section of the board.
Oh, and that will definitely attract some drawings over there.
That'll drag in some.
So the whiteboard booth's going pretty well. So has anyone seen any cool like nerd famous people?
I think we're good right now. Guy, he was dressed today. He was literally one booth down from us. Reed, you should have seen this. Full on Chrono.
Yes,
cosplay.
He didn't come by the booth.
Super spiky hair.
No way.
I saw him over there, and then I looked.
He was with the girl who was dressed as Luca. You remember the Luca girl from day one?
I got a picture of her. She looks great.
He was with her, and they walked around.
Yeah, the Chrono. I looked over there, and I saw him. I was like, okay, awesome. And now I helped someone with their order, and I looked back over there. He's gone. I literally stopped everything I was doing. I'm like, okay, I gotta find this guy. I gotta say, dude, you gotta come over here and check this stuff out.
No,
I couldn't find him. I mean, he had hair full on Chrono outfit. No, it's so upsetting we missed him, man.
Yeah. All right.
The girl who did Luke, she did a great job.
All right, so Kevin is right. We should take a moment here, save this cast so we don't lose it, and we'll continue on. We'll be right back. There we go. Short break.
You wouldn't want to say. You wouldn't want to say the funniest thing ever and not catch it on there.
You would be surprised how often that happens when me and Liz are doing
the podcast.
We almost
lost. We got video of one of the dancing. We'll get more video tomorrow, but because I'm like, Reed, I'm in front of the counter. You're behind it. Hand me the camera. And as he's handing it to me, he presses the record button again. So I do take all this video, and then I look at him and I'm like, wait a second. This light should be blinking. I don't know much about iPhones, but I know this should be blinking. And so we kind of lost some, but then they were still dancing.
Who? The Mega 64 guys?
The Mega 64 guys, yeah.
They like to dance a lot.
Ever stop.
It's going to be a good time. Okay.
We're going to try to do like a dance.
We're going to do a, we're going to get a dance free-for-all out on the floor. We're trying to get Rooster Teeth. We're going to try and get the NVIDIA card guys next to us. It'll be a good time.
It'd be funny if you can just get like literally everybody, total anarchy, just dancing.
Free up.
So it's like everybody a dance wave. Just, everyone starts just dancing to the next to them.
Yeah. Actually, if we could get... So one song on all of our computers because they have their TV and they have their computer and we could all play it and synchronize, that would get enough loudness that we could overcome all the boos yelling and screaming with everyone every 10 to 15 minutes and we could get a good dance party
going.
We
need a very universal song though.
Well, we'll figure something.
Thriller is a pretty good idea. I have to agree.
And if we could all synchronize dance, I'm telling you.
If we, because now you're a bunch of nerds.
Nerds doing the MJ Thriller dance.
I was going to recommend play that funky music whiteboard. I think that captures the zeitgeist of PAX.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Okay, so did anyone get... So, again, people who left the booth, though, see any cool panels, see any cool people, talk to any famous... Oh, so wait. This guy talked to the Metroid Metal guys only after I had to pump up his ego for 10 minutes. You're worth it, John. Talk to them.
So I talked to him, and I talked to how a lot of their music helped me... do a lot of the illustrations and drawings and designs that we show on Fangamer. And so one night I was just listening to your music and I was just inspired to do something and I showed him this illustration logo. I think it's in one of John's sketchbooks that
on
Steve
the,
showed in Office Cam.
The Office Cam ones.
And I showed it to him and they really liked it, so they took a photo of it right there. And I told him who a Fangamer was, what they do. Or
you give him a card?
What we do. Yes, I gave him a card.
All right.
And I said, you know, we do stuff with Earthbound, Mother 3, Chrono Trigger, SMRPG, Metal Gear Solid, inspired stuff. And I said, we're soon to do Donkey Kong Country, and hopefully later down the road, maybe some
maybe,
Metroid.
For
Super
sure.
Super Metroid. And he's like, double gun fingers. He's like, yes. And I was like, listen, you know, I love music and it really inspires me with everything that I do. It would be great to do something for you. It's like, if you want to do something with this, let us know and I give my card.
Good time.
So, yeah.
So, okay, speaking of podcast announcements, we want to talk about PAX Prime this upcoming year.
Yeah, well, this just came up at dinner, but I decided yesterday. We're throwing down, man. We are doing a booth at PAX Prime.
PAX Prime, if you're on the West Coast and you couldn't make it to Boston... We'll be there.
If we can get
a booth there.
We can, I think we got a good chance. Pierce is our buddy. He can put in a good word for us.
We
have Robert Koo's personal cell phone number. We'll just give him a call. We really want to be there.
If nothing else, we'll put the booth in our apartment. We'll just
it'll be at our house. People can just come by.
It'll be just one of the corridors. A very long
corridor.
We'll create a sweet map with arrows.
Yeah.
Like the IKEA map, follow this way to get to the sofas.
I think we should definitely hit up doing a panel about, I think we talked about that, you know, hitting up a panel.
I mean, Mega 64 and Rooster Tooth both do panels and run a booth.
And
if they can do it...
Actually, when they did the panel, Rooster Teeth, they left and there was nobody there.
Alright, and Enforcer just sat there guarding their stuff the whole time.
Yeah. Well, Mega 64 actually did their panel after things closed.
That was probably
That's a risk of, you know, going to the panel and people not showing up because of late night activities.
Yeah. I think we have enough people to cover it well.
Oh, yeah,
we got a couple people around.
That's cool thing is that like some lady came up to the booth. She's like, "Hi, I'm with you know WeCanDoIt.com. We would like to do your viral advertising." And she's like, "If you need help making posts on Twitter or YouTube, just give me a call." And I didn't want to be mean, but in my head I was like, "Lady, you have no idea how good we are at this stuff, man.
We're
this
pretty is, legit. We got a couple people
she,
writing."
She's like, "Are you
she
trying
really,
to go at me to be doing your viral
video?" Yeah. She really tried though. I remember I saw her. She was trying to be really nice, but unfortunately, it's one of those things. It's like, we appreciate it, but we got to take care of it.
Speaking of viral advertising, so I'm standing back at the booth. Just being there in case like Dan or Liz need to ask questions because they didn't know quite where everything was.
and I overhear like this couple over by the computer, and it was the mascot video that had just gone up of Ruby, and I hear them go, "Is that a Sheltie?" I go over, I'm like, no, it's a corgi. This has really long hair. And then we get into this big discussion about corgis for like a couple minutes. And then Ryan goes, well, actually, corgis with long hairs are considered a fault. They're not the correct type of corgi. And then he went back to like processing a credit card. I'm like, Ryan is so tired at this point. He's like, oh, I know facts about that. Let me disperse them to you.
Let me just do that real quick.
And then go back to this credit card. It's pretty good. All right, guys. Okay, we're hitting about 30 minutes here. Let's do a short cast. I mean, who knows if we'll get to do something maybe later on. But so let's sum it off. Anyone's got a favorite moment of PAX so far? We'll go around the room. We'll start over here with Jeff. Favorite moment so far?
When I got lost, I was observing one of the people working at PAX went over to a very young girl and grabbed all of her things and said, "Here, let me help you with that," and then tried to show her some. He obviously liked her, and I thought it was sweet and kind of funny.
Wow. I thought this was going to get inappropriate. That's,
no.
That's
he was wearing a kilt.
Oh, he was wearing a kilt. So the whole thing is inappropriate because he had a kilt on. All right, Reed. What do you think? Favorite moment of PAX so far?
I left my wallet in a bathroom.
Are you kidding me?
This was I had $400 from the Fan Gamer in my wallet, and I left in the bathroom. And so I realized, like, probably 5, maybe 10 minutes.
This is why we have to kid glove you.
And so I was like, oh crap, Camille, I left my wallet in the bathroom. I gotta run back up there. And so Camille and Jeff were waiting for me. I ran back up there. I bust into the bathroom, and I run straight to a Wookiee.
A Wookiee. Chewbacca. And does he have your wallet in a crossbow?
I was like, dude, did you see my wallet? I was like, no. So then I went.
These are not the wallets you're looking for.
But I went downstairs to the info booth. It was right there. I didn't even check the money because I knew it was going to be in there. And sure enough, I got back to the hotel. I looked. It was there. Patch people are great, man. That's, I mean, where
is one of the rules is don't steal.
$400.
It is. That's like rule number one or two at least.
Rule number one is drugs are bad.
Okay. Number two.
So
is
don't tell them about this.
The airborne that we're
huffing.
Yeah,
the airborne.
We're huffing
we're
airborne.
We're not doing airborne, guys.
You're right. Yeah. We're taking.
Once we do it, we will be airborne.
Yeah, just good old PCP is good enough for me.
Right, Camille, what was your favorite moment of the PAX so far?
I really like meeting some of the Starman.net oldies that have been around since before it was Starman.net.
Gauntlet showed up.
Really?
What?
Gauntlet.
What?
Wait a second.
I'm serious. Gauntlet walks up, and it was Matt, who was his roommate back at university, introduced me. He's like, "This is Tyler," and I'm like, dude, should I? And it's Gauntlet. And oh my god, it's Gauntlet. What are you doing
wow.
here? So,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't get to meet him. That's a shame, man.
Is there anybody you got to meet who kind of you were surprised that they were there?
I didn't really know them back then. I can't remember.
Well, there was Illustration.
Oh, yes. I got to meet Illustration.
He's the guy who did the.
The Amazing Illustrations, yes.
Right.
His name's Sean Witt. He works for Harmonix. He works
for Harmonix now?
Yeah, he's
Harmonix.
One of the main character illustrators for Rockman 2, Beatles,
wow.
And he's also currently working on Green Day.
What are you saying?
Wow.
Yeah, he has his hands on a lot of
holy crap.
Did you say he has his hands on a lot of ham?
Or crap, that's actually what
games.
He said. He has
oh,
hands,
he has
on,
hands
a lot of crap.
On a lot of games.
Okay, I thought you said ham, because I'd like that.
I love a ham. All right, Jen, well, so far, what do you think? Favorite moment?
My favorite moment was this morning when I was jogging about 2 miles away from PAX, and I saw someone holding a Fan Gamer bag.
One of our tote bags.
Yeah, and I was like, we're going, we're spreading.
our babies are out in the world.
Yeah.
Growing.
And if I were braver and not so sweaty, I would have.
Actually, speaking about the Fan Gamer bags, there's these plastic NVIDIA bags. So some people would come up with a bunch of stuff in their bag, and I see their labels are like tearing in these cheap plastic bags. I'm like, here you go, here's a Fan Gamer bag. But
same color,
yeah,
way better.
High quality
Although, Matt Skolberg, he was, I kind of reminded me of a purse. We were waiting here, he's like, "Can you hold my purse for me?" And he handed it to me as he'd go ask the guy when's our table ready. And he's like, "Do you have my purse?" "Yeah, here's your purse." It's like, it's a tote. It's a tote.
Yeah.
All right, John. So your favorite moment so far?
I think there was one guy. He told me. Actually, it was today. He goes, "I really appreciate that you guys design stuff where 30-year-old
gamers can wear merchandise without feeling like kids.
Ooh.
It was really nice because it made me realize that and actually there's another comment that people can wear this kind of stuff where it's for them and it's not for
that guy. I remember him.
Yeah, it's for them and it's not for it references the game. And I think it's kind of a hindrance that's been a blessing for us, where we're able to design things that allude to the game, a lot of these elements where it's not saying, I am this. I am gamer.
I told somebody about the I am gamer
shirt. Did you see the guy with the gamer shirt? Is a gamer. And he's looking at our stuff. I'm like, well, we're here to cure you of that. But I really appreciated this comments because it makes me, it tells me that what I'm doing is what the designs that I do is what people appreciate. And what actually, it goes beyond, it actually kind of allows them to express themselves in ways they want where they couldn't.
Yeah. I like it. All right, Kevin, what about you? Favorite moment.
Oh, boy. The one that comes to mind, and I don't mean to keep blowing my own horn here, but I'm going to anyway. After the E.T. fiasco, the next room over is the American Arcade Association, whatever thing, and they have all these crazy. They got Galaga, and they got Space Invaders, and they got just games I haven't seen. They had a tabletop version of Leprechaun. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah.
And they had some pinball machines, and I am a pinball. I won't say aficionado, but I do enjoy a good game of pinball.
I remember you were really racking up that pinball at the Seattle Con.
Oh yeah,
Shorties, right?
Yeah.
Shorties.
That was fun, but they had High Speed, which is a game I'm familiar with, and the basic idea is you hit some traffic lights, which are the bumpers on the side, and if you can get all the red lights to light up, then the red light comes on the freeway ramp. And if you hit the ramp, you go into the cop chase mode, which is like the multi-ball section, and then the strobe light goes off on the back of the display, and the siren goes off at the top of the machine so that everybody in the room knows exactly how well you're doing in the machine.
Yeah.
And so guess who lights the machine on his second round?
Kevin?
Maybe. I think it's Kevin Williams.
It might have been Dave. He was with me. No, it was me. But, and like, just the whole room was this temple, this spectacle of arcade.
You were the altar?
Of classic. you know what, really?
Your machine was the altar with all the sounds going on.
My machine was sort of the beacon. The altar, I think, was the head of a Dragon's Lair machine in there. And
are you serious?
They have Dragon's Lair, and there was one guy who was like really kicking it. He was doing it. He got into the water level where you have to dodge the whirlpools and go down the rapids and stuff. And then he gets to the end, and there's a projection screen above it, and it's just showing Dragon's Lair, so everybody knows how well this guy's doing too. And he gets right up to the last guy, and he's like, okay, I have to hit forward and tap my sword and stab this guy in the face. And just as he's swinging the sword, this bat comes by and steals the sword, and Dirk the Daring is just like, what the hell is this? And then the wizard like casts a spell on him and explodes, and then there's that, and he looks at you grumpily and turns into a skeleton and collapses. And the guy's just like, I'm at the end of the game and I died. I can't believe it.
It was a PAX not miracle.
It was close though. It's the furthest I've ever seen anyone get in that game.
Alright. Alright, guys.
Well, Gary, what was yours, man?
Oh
yeah, man, don't leave us hanging.
I haven't been preparing. I've been listening to everyone talk. Okay. I really liked, I don't know who it was. Actually, no, we guessed his name. The kid who came by, his mom, at the very right in the morning, they were super excited to see us.
Well,
I could tell this kid is super excited. I'm like, man, come take some pins. And he was, and then mom was like, she looked like she was really happy with us. Like,
yes.
She met us in person. She's like, oh, you're not weird freaks. You're actually kind of nice. And we were being really nice. And there was all these different things they wanted to buy. We were getting him. And then I don't know how you guys figured out that he was on what someone you had drawn a packing slip for on Ustream or what was
it? Well, because he said that he watched the Ustream, like Office Cam. And so, you know, I'm pretty much the only one who's like always there for Office Cam and knows what's going on. So I was like, all right, we need to start guessing.
And coincidentally, the Office Cam intro was playing right then.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it literally just started off with you, like, you know, walking, like, hey, what's up? And like, oh, yeah, Office Cam. Like, oh, yeah. And they started smiling.
Good comments on there. Like, I love this. It's just like an 80s, 90s sitcom. That's awesome. Like, come watch us Fridays, man. It's a good time.
So he's like, so I was like, all right, let me guess your name. I turned into a game. It's like, and I started going through, like, have we drawn you yet? He said, yes. I was like, are you FUBU? He's like, no. And so we went through, he's like, name starts with an E. I don't know what you're talking about. A lobo? Was it E or A?
He wasn't a lobo.
Yeah, I was like, it's not a lobo, because he's not weird enough.
Sorry, a lobo.
No, we love a lobo.
We know he'll be listening to this. He's one of our, oh, I confirmed 3 more listeners at PAX, so he's one of the 5.
Nice. All right.
Like a Cylon.
We have at least 5 listeners.
We have at least 5, outside of our moms and dads. Well, Liz's dad, at least.
So we figured out this kid is Emok, and so, I went to the wall later. I was cleaning it off and saw Emok was here. You know, real low, about as high as.
No, I called. I was like, when they were buying, so I was like, make sure you draw on the wall. I was like, oh, okay. And he runs back and starts drawing.
Yeah, he walked over to me. He's like, oh,
I'm so glad you guys are here.
He was so excited to see us.
He was. He was probably the most excited person, to be honest.
Yeah, he was. I mean,
there were some people.
It was really nice to see somebody who. A lot of people hold back that emotion.
Oh, yeah.
And that one girl that Reed bumped into.
Punched to the face.
I wonder why.
Well, she was going to be excited until Reed hit her in the face.
I'm so sorry.
Fake Gamer says hello. Go draw on the wall.
It's Face Gamer. So,
here's your coupon. Boom.
The true test if you're a fan is to use
the Can you take a hint from Reed?
Do you like me now?
We need to test your loyalty.
So, but Emok, he was just genuinely excited, and
yeah.
he really showed it. And we, I'll tell you, that would be probably one of my moments I really
like,
because
it's good. I
like
talking with his mom. She was really nice.
He really enjoyed meeting us, and I really really liked it. It kind of shows what we do in a face that
he's
able to show that excitement. I really thought it was a great time.
It was nice because his mom reminded me like what my mom would have been like if she had brought me to like meet someone like us.
Right.
Because she was just like, you know, she's probably not super into games.
Yeah.
At first, as he started buying stuff, it's like, well, he's got a lot of this stuff already. It's like, oh, okay, so we've got a repeat customer. It's like, he's super excited to see you guys. And it was a good time.
His mom left, I was like, Emok, you will go on to great things.
You made his month, his year. That was a good time. Actually, we had a couple of people coming by. It was like, is Reed here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, are you Reed?
Are you
like,
Reed? Yeah.
Because people kept confusing me with you, you, Reed. And I was like, Liz is like, hey, Reed. I'm like, what? I'm not. I'm sorry. So yeah, this guy kept asking for you, and
I feel bad I wasn't around. Was it Lucas Dizma?
I don't know.
I don't think
he kind of looked like Trip.
No,
there's one guy that kind of looked like Trip.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah, I talked to him.
He might come by tomorrow.
Camille's figurines. I had a lot of people come by when Camille wasn't there and ask about the figurines. Camille looked weird.
You haven't got to be Camille for a while.
I got to be Camille. It was kind of fun. We don't have the same prescription on our glasses. I don't think. It was kind of blurry, but. And
no,
the shirt, I'm sorry about the shirts, they just didn't fit.
You guys, like, you should have told them, like, well, he's actually out conquering foreign lands.
Well, no, every time someone asks, he's gone.
I would say
out doing interviews.
Yeah, I go, he's out doing interviews.
He's out with the press doing interviews.
I was trying to find a lot
to watch the clothes.
I initially thought you were doing an interview.
We all did. And then over here later, he's just washing his clothes.
And now we're here,
he's washing my drawers.
He's washing John's underwear.
Two of them.
Wow.
Actually, you know what? I wash those, to be honest.
Oh, you know what? Jeff's right.
I washed those.
Jeff washed my drawers.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Put them in there with tongs.
You will him dinner.
I do. I am so sorry. I had no time.
For the record, so that Camille isn't disparaging, we actually did do an interview. She came with me. She kept me from saying anything dumb, which she usually does.
It's swearing profusely like normal.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Something happened with me in the reporter stuff.
Oh, I remember you got interviewed on your own. That girl who came.
Actually, I ran into her.
What was it? Something Gamer.
Megan from
My Gamer.
I actually ran into
her. She was really nice.
It was a coincidental. I was coming back down, so I was hoping to meet up with Jeremy Parrish after the Retronauts podcast. Unfortunately, I miscalculated by half an hour. So
it was done.
Yeah, it was done when we went there. It was done at 10 instead of 10:30. So I went down. Down the escalator, and I heard someone like, "You want to go to the one-up party?" And then I'm like, "Wait, I can meet up with Jeremy there. I wanted to tell Jeremy
a party?
We have stuff for him at the booth."
Yeah, we got some stuff.
And I said, "Oh, where is that?" And I started talking with her, and it's like, "Oh, Megan from Mind Gamer. We talked with Camille, you're from Fan Gamer." Or I said, "I introduced myself from Fan Gamer," and
yeah, talk with Camille. And then we started talking again, and it, sure enough, was her. It was Megan.
She was really nice. She came by during media hour or just...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell about the interview. Yeah.
Oh, well,
what do I say? I don't know. What did you guys talk about?
Oh, yeah. Well, the person who interviewed us made sure that his recorder had batteries that worked, and so the lights started blinking, so he was like, okay, it's working. So we talked for about 45 minutes, all three of us, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
so
a really good, we talked about everything from the people and the community and the site and the fan gamers.
Kind of
and who is this from, this person?
His name's Lawrence. What was the name of the guy? I can't remember the website name. He's a really nice guy. His name's Lawrence.
Is he the one that just came during the media hour again and said, let's talk later?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when he picked up his tape recorder at the end and he rewound a little bit and then pressed play, it was like...
Oh, no.
and it was
just
noise.
Clicking. I said,
oh,
you gotta be kidding me. He's like, you know what, I'll just email you.
So the whole recording was botched?
Yeah, it was all screwed up.
Disappointing. That sounds like many podcasts I've tried to do.
Yeah.
More than one. Being a podcast. All right. Any last words before we sum this up?
Let me just say this to finish. In Reed's defense, when I got in at like 11:45 last night, the first guy I see is Reed in the lobby, and I sort of interrupt him while he's talking to the concierge about is there a laundromat anywhere near here? Apparently, Boston.
24 hours, man.
Boston, we love you, but you don't have enough 24-hour laundromats.
You don't have any 24-hour laundromats.
Or any bank of, what bank are we?
Any Bank of America, or no, I'm sorry, any U.S. bank, no Chase Bank.
No Wachovia.
No Wachovia,
but you do have delicious Dunkin' Donuts, though.
Yeah, and your Subways are terrific, so
yeah.
Don't change those things, Boston, but the bank and laundromat
we
can fix.
All right, everyone, we're going to say goodnight on the close of day 2 for the Fangirl Podcast. Everyone, let's say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.